This is Lasair Bradley, Jr., welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour. Glad to have you with us today. I will appreciate your prayers that the Lord will use these broadcasts to His glory. The summer months have always been particularly challenging, and certainly during this time of the pandemic, when so many lives are affected in a variety of ways, the need is great. If you want us to continue on your local station, we need to hear from you. We will greatly appreciate your support. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Or you can go to our website, make a donation there at baptistbiblehour.org. Today we're going to begin bringing you a series entitled Never Alone. Now, in our anniversary month in 2019, we made this packet available. There are two CDs. One is a sermon by that title, Never Alone, and another is just a series of excerpts from sermons and songs in that theme. We've never used that on the air, but I decided to do it at the present. During this challenging time through which we're living, no doubt there are many who feel alone for a variety of reasons, even if you're attempting to go about life in a normal way. So many things are changing that down deep inside there can be this sense of loneliness. And to hear the promises that are in God's Word concerning His blessing upon us and His assurance that we will never be alone, we can find hope. So I trust as we bring you the first part of this presentation today, it will be a blessing to you. If you would like to get the packet with the two CDs, request it by the title Never Alone. And we would appreciate your help in support of the program as we would send you then this packet. Never alone. The word lonely contains a pensive tone. When you speak of being alone, you may be thinking of a person who is depressed and feels deserted. It may convey the idea of a person who is in a dangerous place because they have no one to protect them. It may also describe a person who, through bad choices and sinful behavior, has lost their family and friends. Or it may describe a person who is in a dark place spiritually. The number of people living alone in the United States is increasing. It is now reported that over 27% of the population lives alone. In some areas, the number reaches 67%. Obviously, many of those prefer to live alone and are content. But large numbers of people struggle with loneliness that can bring on a variety of challenges. Concern for those struggling with loneliness has been the catalyst for the formation of a number of government programs to reach those who have developed emotional and health problems. It's possible to experience loneliness even when in a crowd of people. You may feel that others do not understand you, do not really care about you, or do not desire your company. You can feel lonely when traveling a long distance from home, or even waking up in the night when it seems that the morning will never come. I remember when I was in about the fourth grade, a friend of mine invited me to spend the night at his house. We rode the school bus there and had a good time playing outside for a couple of hours. And then I learned the bad news. His family went to bed before sundown. I was part of a family that was very active during the evening hours and that went to bed a little later than most. So when at my friend's house we were told to go to bed right after supper, I was troubled to say the least. My friend was used to going to bed early, and so he was soon asleep. I could hear him snoring in his bed across the room. I periodically peered out the window to check, and yes, it was still light. Darkness finally came, and as the night wore on, I suffered from a terrible feeling of loneliness. I wondered why I had agreed to come here. I wondered about what a good time my family was having at home. I thought the morning would never come. You may have felt lonely when on a sick bed or after a loved one died. You may have felt alone and thought the Lord had forgotten you when you prayed earnestly and there was no answer. But for the child of God, the fact is, he is never alone. What a promise God has given his children. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Never alone.
I've seen the lightning flashing and heard the thunder roll. I felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of Jesus telling me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone.
A picture of what it means to feel alone is clearly painted on the pages of Scripture. The psalmist said, "I am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop." I think of the little sparrow alone, subjected to the winds, the rain, and the heat and the cold. Asaph asked, "Is thy mercy clean gone forever?" Job said, "He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." Jeremiah said, "My hope is perished from the Lord." There is no time so dark and lonely as when you feel that the Lord has hidden his face. But although these men traveled in a dark, difficult place for a time, they all found relief when they turned to the Lord for help. They came to realize that they were never really alone. God was supporting them all the while. After concluding for a moment that his hope was gone, Jeremiah said, "This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that they are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Never alone. In a message entitled "The Unspeakable Gift," I spoke about how the Lord is always with his people. So if we were to ask someone here today, some of you who have been walking with Jesus a long time, for some of you it's been 40 years, for some of you 50, for some of you 60, some of you 70 and more, you would indeed say, "He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's one who has never forsaken me. I've been able to rely upon him. I've been able to claim his promises. I've been able to say I'm satisfied with Jesus." Hymn number 590 in our book says, "The longer I know my Savior, the dearer he is to me. The harder I try to please him, the better I want to be. Oh, wonderful, matchless Jesus, his child I shall always be. The longer I know and love him, the dearer he is to me." Is that not your experience? The longer I know and love him, the dearer he is to me. Yes, you can say, "He has never forsaken me. When I've stumbled, when I've sometimes fallen down, when I've sometimes been sinking in the mire, he has lifted me up."
The world's fierce winds are blowing, temptations sharp and keen. I feel a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when earthly friends are gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone.
We encounter many trials and difficulties in life, and we can have struggles with doubts, all of which can cause us to feel alone and wonder if God really cares.
The psalmist David reached the conclusion as he wrote Psalm 142, "No man cared for my soul." You may have been in that plight somewhere along the way. You were greatly discouraged. Your heart was heavy. You felt that no one understood, and basically, no one cared for your soul. And then I've had people say to me, when they were talking about their extreme difficulties, "I really don't think God cares." And then when a person is extremely depressed, they reach the point where they say, "I don't care. Everything is in such a mess. I've been so disheartened. Friends have failed me. My marriage is in a mess. I've tried. I've reached the point. I don't care." Now, obviously, to be in that frame of mind is terribly detrimental and dishonoring to God. When David said, "No man cared for my soul," he then said, "Thou art my refuge. You're my hiding place." Sometimes it may be assumed that no one cares when that's not really the fact of the case. But if it were to be true, you're not without a hiding place. "Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living."
When in affliction's valley I'm treading a road of care, my Savior helps me to carry my cross when heavy to bear. My feet entangled with briars, ready to cast me down, my Savior whispers his promise, "I never will leave thee alone." No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone.
Psalm 55, verse 22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." So the Lord encourages us to cast our burden, whatever that burden may be, no matter how heavy it is, no matter how long we have tried to carry it by ourselves. He says to cast the burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. But sometimes there is a question. When a person has been traveling in the dark for a good while, when the problems of life had continued to mount, that the question is, does God care? There's a sense that God has forgotten me. But if you have traveled that route, or if you're traveling it at the moment, you're not blazing new territory. Let's look at Psalm 77 in the 7th verse. "Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. Here then is the question. Looking at my situation, looking at how bleak the scene really is, how I don't see anything changing in a positive direction. Has the Lord cast off? Will he never be favorable again? Is his mercy clean gone? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? But then, verse 10, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. So Asaph recognizes that as he has raised these questions, he could not possibly come to the conclusion, yes, in fact, God has forgotten to be gracious. Yes, he has shut up his tender mercies. He admits, I said this in my infirmity, in my haste. I hadn't thought through it all. I hadn't considered every aspect of the matter. And so, we have to recognize that when we raise these questions, when we're in our seasons of doubt, feeling to be overwhelmed by the burdens of life, that to draw the conclusion that God has forgotten and God doesn't care is absolutely incorrect.
When we feel cast down, when we're troubled because we have drawn the wrong conclusion, it is a blessing to go to God's Word and read the experiences of saints from long ago.
Sometimes that question is raised, just because we do not know what God is doing. The way seems dark. Our circumstances are so entangled. We say, how could God be in this? We go to the promise that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And say, I know that's what it says, but I can't see it. Makes us think of the experience of Jacob. Genesis chapter 42, verse 36. This is a difficult time. Jacob is under the impression that his well-loved son Joseph has been killed by a wild beast. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. Certainly, according to what he could see and understand, he had drawn a valid conclusion. Joseph is not, he's dead. Simeon is not, he's been left back as a hostage in Egypt. And now you want to take Benjamin. All these things are against me. How many times have you reached that conclusion? This is going wrong. That's going wrong. Nothing's going right. All these things are against me. Now, what about the fact of the matter? Were all of these things against Jacob? Obviously not. In the first place, according to his best observation, Joseph was dead. Joseph wasn't dead. Simeon wasn't in any danger. He was in the safekeeping of Joseph. Nothing was falling apart, although it appeared to be. God had something in store for Jacob. Going to move down to Egypt, where Joseph is as the prime minister. He's in charge of seeing to it that during the years of plenty that the grain is stored up and he will administer it when the famine comes. What a blessed experience. What a happy reunion when that family was gathered together once more. You see, Jacob was making this statement that all these things are against me just because he didn't have all the facts. Haven't we sometimes made that mistake? Why did God let this situation touch my life? If God really loved me, it looked like he would have spared me. He wouldn't have let this happen to me. And all the while, God is at work bringing about something that is beyond our expectation, unable to imagine what God has in store and what he intends to accomplish. In a message entitled Hope, an Anchor of the Soul, I spoke about the fact that the purpose of God is unchanging. His purpose is unchanging. No believer needs to doubt that this salvation is sure, it's certain, because it relies on God's grace, not our works. On His promise, not our effort. On His covenant, not some agreement that we might attempt to make. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. How wonderful to have that assurance.
Later in that message, I spoke about the uniqueness of our anchor.
And this anchor of the soul certainly differs from those on great ships. The anchor on the ship is let down so that the ship can be stabilized. Goes down deep and attaches to sometimes a rock or something in the depth, and it holds the ship in place when the storms are raging and the winds are battering it about. But the unique thing about this anchor of the soul is it doesn't go down, it goes up. And it's gone up to heaven and is within the veil. It secures us, the anchor of the soul. It gives us stability in the storms of life. And there are many storms that we encounter.
When in affliction's valley, on treadmill road of care, my Savior helps me to carry my cross when heavy to bear. My feet entangled with briars, ready to cast me down, my Savior whispers His promise, I never will leave Thee alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone.
Today we have brought you the first part of a presentation entitled Never Alone. If you would like to get the packet with two CDs, a message with this title, and also this presentation, address your letter to the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. And we will certainly appreciate your support as you request this special packet. Now, till we greet you at the same time tomorrow, this is Lasair Bradley, Jr., bidding you goodbye, and may God bless you.
Praising my Savior.